Episode 41, A Vision for Your Home. Welcome to the First Year Married Podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real-life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hello, ladies. As some of you know, I reached out to you guys on Instagram and asked you to let me know I wanted to do a series on practical solutions, podcast episodes about running the house, and I wanted to hear what things you'd like to hear about. So what ended up happening is I got a lot of messages from you, and I wish I could address every single message, and fortunately I'm not able to at this point, but I tried to really read through and pay attention to what I felt like would be the most helpful to everybody that was asking and to create an episode based on that. I actually ended up creating two episodes. So the way this is going to work is that this first episode is about creating a vision for your home. So I'm talking about in this episode your vision for yourself and how to have a home that you feel like really reflects you, which is so motivating and inspiring. And the other part is how to have a vision when talking to your husband about what you need from him. So that's going to be the first part of the episode. It's really more skills-based. It's sort of more meta, big picture. And next week, I'm going to be recording all of my tips, the things that I have found to be the most helpful in my 10 years of running a home with my four kids that have helped me from the beginning to now. Some things are more relevant with kids, some of the things are not. Just things that I think are helpful. So I think this is one of those things where the more we share and the more tips that we gather and we share with each other is always helpful. And I think it's also a beautiful way of easing the burden on each other and creating a community. And on that note, I thought what would be so amazing, but I need you guys to help me on this one, is to create a third episode in the series with all of your tips. Wouldn't that be amazing? So here's what I need you to do, because I need enough to make a whole episode out of it. It's not going to be fun if it's like, oh, one person sent in these three things. So I really need all of you to go ahead and think of just one or two things like you would say to someone, you know, at a bridal shower, if they wanted to like collected a book of tips, you know, what one, two things you want to send me more. Oh my gosh, send me more. It'd be great. But I want to create an episode that's all the first year married community pitching in for each other on the things that are the most helpful for them that they've learned for running the home. So this episode again is the more meta one. Next episode is going to be tips. And the third episode, if you guys can do this, which I think you can, is going to be your tips. Okay. The way to send those in, because you can start now, you don't have to wait till next week, is to email me, Kayla@firstyearmarried.com. Or there's a form on my website, or you can send me a message on Instagram @firstyearmarried. Now, I think if you're not following me on Instagram, I don't necessarily see your message right away, so you should follow me too. Why not? Won't that be great? And those of you who are interested in taking this work and taking it further, specifically those of you who are in the Orthodox Jewish community, I really want to encourage you to listen to the end of this episode because I have a special announcement for you. Okay, so we're going to get started with this episode. So I kind of want to start off on like this meta level and talk about this whole concept of being a homemaker. Now, if you're like anything like I was about 8 years ago, that whole word would sound so archaic and reeking of the patriarchy that I would just be all up in hysterics and fits before I could even hear what someone is saying. So bear with me if you're having a visceral reaction to that word. Because what I want to share with you is that I found, very much to my surprise, that the more I invested in my house, the more I invested in how I was running my house, figuring out systems that worked, trying out new things, preparing different foods, all the different things that I was doing, which was the technical day-to-day running of the house, the more I was doing that, the more I started to realize that my house was reflecting me. Right? It wasn't like a generic house. It was very much like you could see me in the house. And so the way that I want to sort of offer this to you is to think for a second about what are your values. And I'm going to share mine just to give you like a sort of jumping off point. Because what I found is like my values were showing in my house. And once that was happening, And whenever I really plug back into that, I find that I get so much more energy and so much more pride in the work that I'm doing in my home. So, okay, so let me share some of mine with you. Playing music regularly, lots of like laughing and dancing and just having fun together. Easily accessible vegetables, lots of vegetables. Minimalism in terms of our materials, self-led play for my children. That means I have very specific guidelines for the kinds of toys that we use. Minimal, if any, screen time and hosting guests. Those are just some of them, okay? Now, I want to be very clear. These aren't rules for how you should run your house, right? These are the things that personally light me up. And when I'm doing these things well, I really feel great, right? And when it's one thing to be like cutting up some vegetables so the kids have something healthy to eat when they get home. And it's another thing to be like, wait, I like really believe in this. I really think it's important. This is a value of mine. I know it sounds so silly. Maybe, maybe not. Hopefully not. And then all of a sudden, once I realize that, I'm like, wait, this is me and my house reflecting me. And it really feels good. And the truth is that when I think about that, I realize that as much as I fantasize about having some live-in cleaning lady who just follows everyone around and cleans up after us, that's actually not even what I want, right? It doesn't play into the minimalism. I wouldn't actually be, the house wouldn't reflect me, right? It would reflect that lady who was taking care of everything, or a butler or whatever, you know? It would reflect that person more than it would reflect me. I kind of just want to give that to you as like a little burst of inspiration going into this, that there is something very satisfying about investing in your home and seeing it reflecting you sort of in that space. I was trying to think of a couple things that like aren't on my list that maybe would be on yours. And so the ones that I thought of are like really nice clothing for everybody, like not even expensive necessarily, but just like nice, really delicious gourmet meals. Those aren't on my list. And I have to be honest with myself about that, because sometimes I really feel like they ought to be on my list. And I'll push myself or stress myself out trying to put it on my list and make myself like more interested or more responsible to those things. But since they aren't my values, I really just don't have the energy for it. And so the truth is, my kids like really don't match, you know, ever, even on the holidays. And I even don't sometimes like what I'm wearing. And our food is pretty simple. I make the same thing, you know, pretty regularly. But then and that's not where I'm going to get my energy. It's not where I'm going to get excited, right? And so I definitely would want you to think about not just what are your values, but maybe what aren't your values? What things are you not so interested in having, you know? And if you're honest with yourself, I hope that that can be sort of a way of plugging into this in a way that feels like much more than just grunt work, which is what it definitely can feel like sometimes. Okay, so the first tip that I want to bring up with you guys is how to have a discussion with your husband about housework. So I'm going to talk about some traps and then I'm going to talk about some solutions. Number one, we make assumptions about what our husbands are willing to do. I do this all the time. I have a whole set of rules in my head of things that I either decided are rules because of how we run our marriage so far, or because this is just things that I think that women do and men do, or that he must expect this. And so I don't even ask for something that I think maybe he'd be willing to do. And once I started to realize that, then I realized like maybe I should just ask him. Right? Like if there's a job that I'm just really don't want to do, like what if I just ask him? And sometimes he's very willing to do something. So the first thing I would say is just make sure you're not making an assumption that he doesn't want to do something. Check first. Okay. But then on the back of that, I have to say that one of the biggest traps we fall into is asking for conflicting things, which would mean like, for instance, where like the hours just don't add up. Like you're asking him to do something, but he very likely has a very good register in his head of how many hours he has in a day, how much energy he has in a day, and where it's already committed, okay? So if he says no to you, it's very often because it's not going to add up, right? He's already committed to these other things, and often they're for you, even if they're indirect, right? If he's working to provide for the family or something like that, or even if he's going to the gym, he might be seeing that as a way of staying healthy for the family. So he's busy with all of these things, and sometimes we ask for things and they conflict. So make sure that when you ask, you like, give him a chance to say, if he can't do something, like understand why. You want to be curious why. Okay. Another one is asking him to be your proxy. Now, I am like very picky about this. I do, of course, fall into this trap sometimes, but I really try not to. That means that when I'm asking him to do something, I have to be really careful that I'm not asking him to do something the way that I would do it. Okay. So for instance, I would often say to my husband, well, could you just, you know, watch the kids and make dinner, right? And he's like, which one am I doing? I know that's going to sound familiar to some of you. So what I'm imagining in my head is like, if Kayla could just be Kayla too, then this would be so much more efficient, right? But that's not partnership, okay? Partnership is I have you. You are separate and distinct and different from me. And you have strengths that are different from me. And yeah, you might even have weaknesses that are different from me. And I'm not going to roll my eyes and go, oh, men, they just can't multitask. Come on, please don't do that, right? Instead, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? When he is making dinner, he's going to be really focused on that and he's really committed to getting a good result out of making the dinner. And when he's spending time with the kids, he's going to be giving them their undivided attention. Isn't it so awesome that he does those things with so much intent? So if I make the mistake of saying, can you do those things together? This is a good example for my husband. He doesn't like watching kids while he's doing anything that requires attention, like the level of making dinner. You know, then if he calls me on it and he's like, well, which one do you want me to do first? Or are you expecting me to do those together? So then I just need to like give myself a little bit of a check here, right? And also realizing it's another one in terms of asking to be your proxy. If you're the one that usually makes dinner, so you have to realize that you have now invested hours and hours and hours in perfecting to whatever degree you've gotten to making dinner. If he hasn't been making dinner all that time, don't expect him to be making a dinner at the same level that you would be, right? He just hasn't had as much time to do it. Now, I know some husbands who are very into cooking, right? They take it to an art form. They're probably the ones getting all the hours, right? You log hours, you get better at something. So just keep that in mind also. Again, it's not, oh man, they don't know how to cook. It's he hasn't been in the kitchen. You've been doing it, right? You hear the difference? And the other thing about this that I really love is that sometimes when he says he can't do two things together, I get permission to not do them together too, right? Like sometimes I'll be like, well, I need to get dinner on the table, but I want to play a board game with my kids. And if I ask him to do it, he'll be like, great, but dinner's going to be cereal. And so when he does that, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if sometimes dinner was cereal? And instead I was playing a board game with my kids. You hear it? Like, of course I can give myself that permission without him saying it. But sometimes when he says like, I can't do both of those things, you could take it and be like, wait, why am I trying to do all these things? Yeah, it's the good example is like taking the kids grocery shopping, right? So my husband's like, why would you want me to do that? I won't get all the right things. I'll come home exhausted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why do I do that, right? It's just worth considering. Yeah, and this time in my life, I continue to take the kids grocery shopping regularly because I have them and I want to go grocery shopping at that moment. And that's just the way I make the choice. But realizing that that is the natural outcome of going grocery shopping with your kids is very helpful. Okay, the last one in terms of traps before we get to solutions is we ask with a no-win scenario. He knows that no matter what he does, he's not going to be successful. Either because that's what's happened every other time or because of the way that you're asking for something and he's already lost, right? We've all done this. You know, like, honey, the garbage isn't out yet, which I might have said like 20 minutes ago. So honey, when you edit this, sorry about that, right? That is not asking where he can win. Asking where he can win is, oh my gosh, hon, I would really appreciate, do you mind taking out the garbage? It would be such a huge favor to me. I would love to not take out the garbage right now, but I really want it out. You hear the difference? It's a huge difference. He couldn't win in the first one. So, fine, maybe he'll do it. But that's like obedience. That's not a relationship. I don't want my husband to be obedient. I mean, that's weird. That's gross. It's not what we're looking for, right? We want a relationship. Plus, as he said in the episode Just Ask, where I interviewed him, which if you haven't heard it, he's so genius. You need to listen. He said like points are free. Just throw a million points at him every time he does something great. Why not? He's never going to cash it in. It just makes him more excited about giving to you, right? And the other one is just, so it's sort of the same thing, but not dealing with your resentment first. If you're asking him a question, you're already feeling resentful. You need to stop and do a little bit of thought work, okay? Because your feeling of resentment isn't from what he's doing. If you feel like he needs to change right now, and some of you who sent in questions, I'm not addressing all the questions. I'm sorry. I tried to do it and I ended up with this extremely long episode that didn't really hold together. And so I'm not going to be publishing that one. But if you're feeling overwhelmed or frustrated and there's this urgency of like, he has to stop doing this way, it's driving me crazy, then that's when we need to check into emotional adulthood and realize that all of your feelings are coming from your thoughts. What he's doing is not driving you crazy. Okay, and you need to do a model. And if you don't know how to do a model, you need to make a call with me or you need to get in the program so I can work with you and I can show you how to do that. I want to remind you that 99% of husbands, which means probably yours, are fantastic and they only want to be your hero. But we don't believe that. And sometimes it's because we don't believe in them, but usually it's because we don't believe in us. We don't believe that he could care so much about us, that we could be so important to someone. And so we never give them the opportunity to win us over. I want you to be won over. Swoon a little bit. It's not going to kill you. He already knows that you're independent and capable. You don't need to keep proving that to him. He wouldn't have been attracted to you if you were a mess, right? He was attracted to you because you were independent and capable. Now is the time for partnership. Give him the points. Another trap we fall into a lot is we ask him a question, but we only have one possible solution in mind, right? The only thing he could say is, of course, I'll do it right now. Or I think I should start doing all of those things for you. Or yes, you should get a cleaning lady, right? We're not asking him to have a conversation. We're asking him to get what we've already decided is the correct answer out of his mouth. And I'm going to talk about that when I get to partnership. All right, so here's the solutions. Number one, you need to ask yourself, is this the right time for the conversation? This is huge. I have lots of stories about this, but we don't have time. If you want to get something out of a conversation, you need to ask, when is a good time to talk? Don't just launch into it because it looks like it's a good time to talk. You don't know. Maybe he's mulling over something that happened at work and he's working it out and he's almost there and all of a sudden you bust in, right? I'm sure you've experienced the same thing the other way where he does it to you, right? And you're like, ugh, not right now. Okay, so he needs to know he's not in trouble, right? Whenever you ask someone, like, can we have a time to talk? You want to make sure they know this isn't so I could yell at you, right? So just, I'd like your advice about something, but it might take a little while. Do you know when you might have time to talk? Okay, he's going to take your request very seriously. He's probably going to think for a minute about all the different things that he has planned because now he has to rearrange them because you need something from him. And then he's going to let you know. Their second solution is to remember that this is an exercise in partnership. So just like I said before, you don't want to ask a question with only one possible solution or one answer from him. What this means is you get to combine your expertise with his expertise. This is an amazing thing. He is probably going to think of solutions to your problem that you haven't considered yet. Or he might see conflicts with your goal, like you work full time, you want the kids to have your undivided attention, but you also want a really nice dinner on the table every night on time. Okay? He's going to point that out to you. That is amazing. This is such a gift. And don't think you're going to know all the things he's going to point out. He's probably, if you give him an opportunity to, he's probably going to come up with lots of solutions or lots of things to point out that are going to be very helpful to you. Because again, this is a partnership. This is two people and you have his whole expertise, his whole way of seeing things, which is unique from yours. So enjoy it. Appreciate it. The next solution is to just remember to listen. Okay, ask him questions that you don't have an answer for. Hey, I had this one before. Carpool right now is the hardest time of my day. What do you think I should do? I really didn't have an answer. Sometimes I would find myself waiting until I knew what I wanted him to say before even asking a question. I don't know why. Because he's got this amazing brain. So like, why am I just relying on only mine when I could tap his too, right? So I just said to him, like, what do you think I should do? And once he heard that, he was able to help me figure out a solution. But if I had only had that one idea or if I had started cutting him off right away, I would never have really gotten to that solution. The next one is state the vision, not the problem. So I want to give you a couple of examples. I've used all of these. I'd love to have one night a week where I'm not responsible for the dinner or the cleanup. It would be such an amazing break and it would give me the energy to do dinner all the other nights because I would know that I would have that one night off. Another one. I'd like to go on a date with you, but not be responsible for babysitting. I get so stressed out that sometimes I just don't bother and then we lose our date. I want to go into our date feeling relaxed and excited, not stressed out and worried. I'd like everything in our home to have a place. I don't need it to always be there, but I need to know that when it's time to clean up, we could all know where things go. And if it didn't have a place, if something comes in and doesn't have a place, we should either make one or we should get rid of it. I'd like 2 hours alone to myself, alone in the house to get ready for Shabbos. This is, for those of you who aren't Jewish, Jewish Sabbath, which includes three big meals and often a lot of guests and usually trying to get the house clean. I'd like to know that the kids are being well taken care of and having a quality experience so I don't feel like I'm depriving them. Ideally, I'd like this to include special time with you. Now, for all of these things, the answer was not what you might be expecting. For instance, with the last one, my husband said, that's great, honey. I can take them to Hippo Hop, which is like our like jumpy bounce house place. He went, but he was like, that's not going to be quality time. I have all the kids. Quality time for me means I have one-on-one dates with the kids. So he took them. He called his friend. His friend brought their kids, right? They hung out together. The kids had an amazing time. And then he made dates with them later in the week. All right? So all of his solutions weren't necessarily what you would have assumed from his solutions, but because I stated the vision, we were able to work towards a vision and not just be sort of stuck in the problem. All right, so those are my basic concepts for having the discussion with your husband about housework. Okay, ladies, so I'm so excited for you to hear next week's episode where we're going to be talking really practical tips because I think practical is so much fun. Is that weird? Practical is fun for me. I love to be able to implement something and see the changes right away. But I wanted you to start with these big picture ideas. Again, if you haven't heard episodes 25 and 26, The Dreaded Housework, go listen to those if this is an area for you. For those of you who want to take this work further, I've got two announcements. So number one, as most of you know, there is a whole 6-week program. It's evergreen. That means you can sign up at any point. But you know what? Now is better than later. Sign up now. If you're interested in taking this work further, this is a great time of year to be doing that. So I want to encourage you, don't wait for the most perfect time. It's really hard to find it. Firstyearmarried.com. The course is there. Just look for the button that says the FYM course and you can register and you can start immediately. You'll get into our Facebook group where I can coach you and get to know you and answer your questions. But we have another little announcement, which is that we are going to be creating our own cohort. Now, I have done the First Year Married as a cohort before, and it was so much fun. Somebody got together a group of women who had a specific need, and they had me bring the First Year Married course to them, and we included Q&A calls and all sorts of great stuff. So if anybody's interested in doing that, first of all, you can absolutely contact me, and we can talk about creating a cohort. But we also decided that because there's been a lot of interest from other women in the Orthodox Jewish community that we're going to create one just for you. One of the main changes is we're going to be going off of Facebook because a lot of you aren't on there or don't want to be on there so much. And we're going to be creating a WhatsApp group instead, which is actually optional because the course is going to be a call-in course. So if you're interested in this, the material is going to be very similar, but it's going to include more examples that are very specific to your lifestyle and your specific scenarios that I can't necessarily address when I'm trying to keep the program broad to everybody. I think this is going to be so amazing. I'm so looking forward to this. So if you are interested and you want to get on the list for this, sign up for this now. We're going to make the first call free, and then you can decide after the first call if you want to register and pay. So you don't even have to pay to get to the first call, but you need to give me your information, and I need to see how many people are signed up to figure out dates. So you just go to firstyearmarried.com/Kala, and that's how you're going to see that. All right. So I look forward to hearing from you over there. And again, those of you who aren't in that cohort, but you want to create some other kind of cohort, you want to join First Year Married, you can always reach out to me, Kayla at firstyearmarried.com. We can talk about your scenario, maybe set up a call, figure out what's going to be the best thing for you. All right. Have an amazing week. Bye-bye.